prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Friday in Brevard County, the end of the week. It's also July 31st, the end of the month. And man, what a year. What a year. So we want to thank you. By the way, my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship. 8:30 broadcast takes place here. 10:30 of the morning, it shows up over on WWBC 1510 AM and some of their corresponding frequencies on the FM dial that reach various parts of the county. 5 o'clock, we're right back here on WMIE again and for a rebroadcast. And if you miss all of those, you can log on to WMIEFM.com and go to the bottom of the page for the on-demand feature where you can click on a date and listen to the things that we've talked about today. We're going to be in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, if you want to start turning there. It's going to send you off into the weekend here on a bright and positive note. We're talking about things that belong to God, and so we're looking forward to that. First of all, I want to let you know that we have about three businesses that are associated with Merit Assembly of God that we tell you about here. On about a once-a-week basis, we tend to rotate them around and stuff like that. Two of them are air conditioning companies. One of them is a concrete and block company. Today, I want to tell you about Wyrick Air Heat and Electric. They're based in Rockledge, Florida, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. If you're listening out of the area, you can listen online live. If you ever find yourself in a place where you don't have a radio, but you've got your internet connection. So say if you were in the central time zone at 7:30 of the morning, there's an Intune radio app or TuneIn app that you can download WMIE and you can click on it and what's 8:30 here would be 7:30 there. You can listen to it out there. If you go all the way to the coast, 5:30 of the morning, you can start your day with the Refresh radio program if you're on vacation, just like you would if you were right here in Brevard County, Florida. So you can listen to it there. Wyrick Air is based in Rockledge, Florida, and they've been providing professional sales, service, and repairs for air conditioners, heaters, and also they work in the electrical field as well for over 40 years. They work in residential settings and commercial settings and provide emergency service when necessary. They always strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So if you find yourself in need of their services, give them a call at 321-632-9538. 321-632-9538. And I don't know about you, but I'm praying that we have a mild storm season. August and September tend to be active months. If we can get by those, I feel like we're in great shape. And so we're going to pray that we don't have to deal with all of those power outages and things like that that are so hard on air conditioning systems. So Malachi chapter 3, yesterday we were talking about Hebrews chapter 10, where people had willfully sinned and God said, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord." We know him who says that, "I will repay." It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And if I told you to turn to Malachi chapter 3, a lot of times you would think that, well, I'm getting ready to hear a message on tithing. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit. We're talking about things that belong to God. And in Malachi chapter 3, there is a discussion that God is having with people. And a lot of it sounds very good. And, you know, we do talk about the tithe, and it ends in verse number 11 and 12, and it says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land," or a Beulah land, "or a special treasure, says the Lord." So we don't want to miss out on that. Now it goes in verse number 13, and God has another thing to say to the children of Israel, and he says this, "Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord, yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said," okay, now this is going to tie in with what we were talking about yesterday, where many people miss out on the blessings, and it says, "For you have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free." And these people are disturbed because there hasn't been a reckoning. There hasn't been an accounting that has taken place at this point in time. Now, I want you to understand that, because God has something to say. We've got to understand that there is going to be a day of accountability. There is going to be a day that we stand before God, and the accuser of the brethren is going to be able to stand there. I've got here in front of me here a three-ring binder that's got a lot of my research notes in it and things like that. And, you know, if you'll allow me to give you the word picture, the accuser of the brethren will stand there, not just with a three-ring binder, but with a whole library of accusations to make against you when it comes time for you to stand before God. He is the accuser of the brethren. And so one of the things I tell people is, let's not do the devil's job for him. Okay, if some of you who, you know, school's changed quite a bit, now you might not have three-ring binders as much as you have little flash drives. Well, let me tell you, he's got entire computer rooms set aside with all of the accusations that he wants to lay against you and against me. You see, he knows what is sin. You know, I told you I had a conversation with someone several weeks ago, and they wanted to define sin for themselves. And then they wanted to define sin for me. And then they wanted to define sin for other people. And the devil's got no shortage of accusations to make. But he fully knows what sin is. And he wants to try and get us to compromise obedience to God so that we sin. The Bible says sin is not only the things that we do, but sin is knowing the right thing to do and not doing it. Sin is missing the mark. And so the devil wants to lay out all these accusations, and until we ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins, we're guilty. If we are guilty in one area of the law, the Bible says that we are guilty of it all. The standard is not, well, I sinned less than so-and-so. I know one religion in the world where determining factor of how you're going to get into the wonderful afterlife is they have a scale, and you did one more good thing than you did bad thing. There are some other factors that they factor in there that try and trump all of that, but outweigh it. But in actuality, they're just hoping to work their way, to get their way to heaven, and it can just be a fraction more. If we can just move the scale a little bit towards pleasing God, we're going to get in. In actuality, that's not the standard at all. It's not the quantity of the good things that you did versus the quantity of the bad things. There's no one who comes to the Father except by the Son. There's no other name under heaven whereby men may be saved but the name of Jesus. And so we've got to say, you know what? I'm not going to get distracted with, well, you know, Johnny over there didn't get in trouble for doing this. Why am I getting corrected? In fact, let me tell you a story. And that was one day I was praying and God corrected me. Now I'm no stranger to correction. I've kind of appreciate it. And part of it has to do with the story I'm telling you. And I don't remember what it was. It was just a moment of frustration, if I remember correctly. And the Holy Spirit dealt with me and said, look, you need to repent of that. And my response at that point in time was, you've got to be kidding me. I need to repent because I got frustrated over this one little thing. And there's this person over here doing this, and there's this person over here doing that. You see, you might think that we never deal with things like that, but I do. And God said, is that the way that you really want me to deal with you? Do you want me to wait until it's too late for you to repent? Or would you like me to deal with things while they are little before they morph into something much larger and much more dangerous and more threatening? And I said, God, you know what? I think I still want you to correct me with that still small voice. I recognize it as a blessing in my life and not a cursing. And so we can't be comparing ourselves with other people because that's not the standard. Comparing ourselves with Jesus is. So if you're not going to go around frustrated by everything that is going on in other places and getting frustrated because God's not coming through for you at the time, verse number 16, 17, and 18 talk about you and I when it comes to our relationship with God. It says this, excuse me, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On that day I will make them my jewels or my special treasure. I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. So it says that there were people who, when they looked around and they saw that there were people who were not suffering the ramifications of their sin yet, that the people who feared the Lord walked in reverence to God, they were in awe of God, they got together and they began to talk to one another. That's what it says. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. So assembling ourselves together is not a bad thing. It is a good thing. But it can't be that we come together for a gripe session, a complaining session. We cannot come together to murmur about the timing and the provision of God. That's not what we come together because we love Jesus and we want to love him to the best of our ability. And it said that while they were having a dialogue amongst themselves because they loved God, they feared God, they walked in awe of him. It was a worship session. That while they were having this conversation, God was eavesdropping on them. He was listening to them. And it said this, he heard them. Okay? I told you, I think it was on yesterday's program, that we had been watching a movie. Well, one of the things that we were doing was we were just trying to wind down to go to sleep at night, and so that was just sort of something to focus on. It was really noise that was just to be background noise. It's a movie we'd seen a whole bunch of times, and so a lot of times my wife will fall asleep listening to things, but she really doesn't hear them because she's more interested in falling asleep. Okay. And you could have conversations with people, and you know, she's had this conversation with me, said, "You're not listening." And then I will tell her everything that she said, and she said, "But you're not hearing me." You know, she wants my attention. When you and I get together and we fear God and we start communicating with one another, not lecturing one another. Listen, there are some serious discussions that need to take place, but I think that sometimes people don't have those discussions because they're afraid they might be told that they're wrong. They might have that realization that they're wrong. And so we don't have them, but when we do, God pays attention and he says, "I want you to write a book, and I want you to title the book this, The Book of Remembrance." Now, I want to say something. The Bible tells us to remember a lot of things. And so one of the things that I pray for people is that we will have good minds that are able to remember the things that God wants us to remember and forget the things that God wants us to forget. So I pray for sound mind. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. So he says, "I want you to write this down." And there's a book of remembrance. There is the Lamb's Book of Life, where the names of those who've asked Jesus to forgive them of their sins and to be the Lord of their life, their name is written down. But there is also a book of remembrance. You know, maybe I'll do something called the Library of Heaven. What does the Library of Heaven look like? One of the things is, whenever saints get together to worship, God never forgets it. He never forgets it. It's written before him, "For those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name." Let me ask you this. When was the last time you just sat down to reflect upon the goodness of God? Okay. I'm not just talking about you're in awe of God. I'm saying you just sat down and reflected on it. The psalmist said that he meditated on the scriptures. Now, for those who came up during the 70s, when transcendental meditation was a major influence here in America, the word meditation got a bad connotation, because in transcendental meditation, what they encourage you to do is empty your mind and empty yourself so that you can be flooded with all of these other memories. That's not what we're talking about here. This meditation is not an emptying your spirit. This is a filling of your spirit with the Word of God. We hide his Word in our hearts so that we will not sin against him. And so we need to come together and enjoy the blessings and grow in our relationship with the understanding of who God is, what he does on our behalf. And I pray that that's one of the refreshing aspects of this program, is that we encourage you to think about some things that you might not think about from other places. Verse number 17, God makes a decree, and I want you to think of this decree along these lines: "Let there be light," and there was light. That there, when God says, "Let there be something," that it is going to take place. He is never an emotional speaker. Sometimes you can say some things out of emotion. He speaks truth. And here's what he said about those who feared the Lord and spoke to one another, who feared the Lord and who meditated on his name And this is what he said. They shall be mine. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God says, the people who fear the Lord, the people who talk with one another and meditate on my name, they are mine. On that day, I will make them my jewels, my special treasure. Now, when I think of jewels, when I think of treasure, I think of something that you value highly, that you want to display, and that you want to also protect. Okay? So here in just a few short verses, we have migrated from people thinking that it was useless to serve God and that there was no profit in it, to another group of people saying, you know what, we're going to meet together, we're going to be in awe of God, and we are going to meditate on the scriptures, we're going to meditate on his name. And God said, that's my people right there. Those are my people right there. I'm going to make them my jewels. I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So I'm tremendously appreciative of spiritual giftings test. I think that they are wonderful. I think that they can provide some great insight. But I am also thankful of this. God can make me whatever he needs me to be for any given moment at that time. Paul said, to this group of people, God made me this way. To this group of people, God made me this other way. And it was all designed so that people would reach out to God and that they would be saved. I am a natural introvert, and from talking with pastors, I have discovered that I'm not the only natural introvert. There are a lot of introverts out there, but God makes us his ministers, his servants, so that we can equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Now I can go up to a total stranger and have a conversation with him, and we can, you know, if the conversation lasts long enough, you know, we can be best friends for a long time. It just depends. Because I don't have to stay in my shell. I can allow God to transform me and make me whatever he wants me to be. And he increases my value. Meeting together and talking about God increases our value to one another and to God. He says that when that happens, when God transforms us, he said, then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. There is a tremendous lack of discernment in 2020. The Bible says, and we all knew it was coming, we just didn't realize that it would come as intense and as quickly as it has. But he said, there's a day that's coming when people are going to call good evil, and they're going to call evil good. And they've got no concept at all that they have flipped the script. They have got the equation completely inverted. But the people who understand, who meet together and meditate on the Word of God, he says, those people are going to have their minds renewed, so they are going to be able to discern. One of the gifts of the Spirit is the gift of discernment, to know the Spirit that is being talked about. And he says, they're going to be able to discern between the righteous and the wicked. Please understand, there is a distinction, there is a difference. They're going to be able to discern between a person who is serving God, and they're going to be able to discern the difference between one who's not serving him. One of the things that Christians deal with is we want to believe everybody because we're telling the truth. We expect that everybody else is telling the truth. Because we love God, we expect that everybody else loves God. And so, just like I did on yesterday's program, where I tried to bring some clarification to a thing, it's happened a couple of times, where I would say something and people would have questions about it. One of the things that I realized is I've been a Christian a long time, and so speaking Christianese, speaking with a Christian vocabulary, is something that is very natural for me. It's very organic. So I've got to make sure that I communicate the truth of God's word in a manner not just that Christians can understand, but that unbelievers can understand as well. So there is a difference. Not everybody in America is going to heaven. And people would say, well, you know, they would disagree with that statement, but there is tremendous amounts of scriptural evidence to back up that statement. Not everybody's going. It's not that God doesn't want you there. It's that you rejected, you know, like we talked about, trampled the Son of God underfoot. You insulted the Spirit of grace, all of that sort of stuff. People reject things all the time. You can have truth that is put out there, and people either accept it or reject it. It happens all the time. God says, I'm looking for a holy people who aren't afraid of one another. One of the tactics of the enemy is the tactic of fracture. He loves to break us up and segmentalize us and put us into our small little groups. But what if we said, you know what? I'm not afraid of other believers. I value other believers. Together, we are more valuable and more effective than we could ever be apart. So the course of action that I would send you off with this weekend is this. Let's not say it's useless to serve God, that it's not going to profit us. Let's look at our brothers and sisters and say, you know what? God blessed me when he brought you into my life. And he blessed you when I came into your life. And let's elevate the conversation instead of talking about what God's not doing in their lives. Let's talk about what he is doing in ours. And he's going to change us. He's going to spare us. He's going to make us more valuable. And we're going to once again be able to teach the difference between the holy and the profane and the righteous and the wicked. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Still in Christ we stand as one.